This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. Here's your HeartWise host, Dr. James Markham.
Thank you, and I want to thank everyone for joining us today on HeartWise. We're talking about a very serious subject today, and that's going to be cancer. And what we've done is we've got a bunch of questions that have come into our website, that's heartwiseministries.org, in regards to cancer. And Charles, you know, everyone has this major fear of cancer.
The C word.
And when you say cancer, you know, everyone just gets petrified. Mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of people ask some great questions. And it, you know, cancer has struck my life personally. As recently, one of my dear friends' wife has come up with ovarian cancer that has metastasized.
Oh, dear.
And when something like that happens, you know, you're at a loss for words. Yeah. And this person was not ill at all, really just felt like they had a little abdominal swelling, which led to a test, which was an ultrasound. They found out that she had an abnormal mass. So they went in, of course, to biopsy. And that's how you make the diagnosis of cancer, mm-hmm. is a biopsy. And they thought it was going to be something of a benign growth. But when they went in there, they found that it was an ovarian cancer that had metastasized through multiple organs in her body. And when cancer starts to spread, it can grow very, very rapidly. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that are talking about cancer now. So I thought today we would answer these questions, and not only answer them, but at the end, you know, there is hope for people that have cancer. And there might be someone out there that has cancer that cannot be treated by modern medical means. But we want to let people know that there's still hope for everyone with cancer out there.
Boy, I guess so. I cannot think of another diagnosis that will strike more fear into the hearts of people.
Charles, do you have any close friends that have had a cancer?
Oh, yes. I lost my mother to it, and my father had a couple bouts with it, and it's very scary stuff.
Yeah, and you've seen the progression of you know, how people, the emotional standpoint,
yes.
and the treatment, and that's very tricky, and I want to talk about that because modern medicine has a lot to offer, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of things that people don't understand, the limitations, what's okay, what not to do, you know, the different types of screenings. And these are all things that people have had questions about. So we're going to answer those today.
One of the greatest things we can do for our listeners, Dr. Markham, is to give them information,
mm-hmm.
information and education.
Right.
And then they can take this information and they can apply it. Because if you understand it, if you really fully understand it, you can learn how to live with it or treat it optimally. All right, the first question that came into heartwiseministries.org is a very fundamental question. I'm glad we have it number one here. The visitor said, what is cancer and what causes it?
Yeah, that's a good question. And let's define a few terms. The type of doctors that care for cancer is called oncologists. And what cancer is a group of normal cells in the body become dividing, and they grow incessantly. Mm-hmm. They really take over your body. They don't really have respect to the other cells. They just keep dividing over and over. There are certain factors that make cancers grow quicker. Certain cancers grow very, very slow. But regardless of when cancers grow and spread, eventually they take up space and they hurt organs, mm-hmm. whether that be cancer. Now, it's rare that a cancer gets in a heart. Mm-hmm. That's a very rare finding. But for instance, a cancer that gets in the lung, which is a very common finding, the cancer gets in the lung and it takes up space that you would need for air sacs.
Yeah.
It also can eat into blood vessels and cause bleeding. And sooner or later, it also can get in the bloodstream, and that tissue type can metastasize to other places. It might go to the brain and cause the growth to occur in the brain and take up brain space.
Mm-hmm.
So it can go to many different places within the body. And sooner or later, it disrupts normal physiology. What's interesting, so the cancer is a group of cells that are dividing abnormally.
Mm-hmm.
What is the cause of cancer? There are many different causes of cancer, and a lot of it's being tracked now back to your genetics. And one of the questions that you ask as a physician is, what is the family history? Because
mm-hmm.
things tend to track through a family. Cancer is one of them. We've seen, especially breast cancer, it's very common. colon cancer is very well tracked. So we assume that there's some genetic defect. However, some people's genetics are turned on and some people's are not turned on. Mm-hmm. And that's some of the things we want to talk about today is what will turn on cancer genes, what doesn't turn on cancer genes, and then if I do have cancer, how do I slow it down? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of theories out there today, and I can't tell you I have all the answers, but just starting to talk about it and understand the group of cells that grow abnormally is very important. So we talked about cancer. Now, the cause, part of it's genetics, but we also know that there are many things, toxins that can stimulate the growth of these cancers or turn on these bad genetics. And Charles, I'm just going to ask you, and I'm going to ask Michael too, you know, as he's sitting here playing. Michael, can you think of any type of toxin that turns on, that makes you more likely to get cancer?
A toxin or something that you might?
Something in your environment, something that you're not supposed to have that might stimulate cancer.
Isn't asbestos bad?
Yes, asbestos has been associated with cancer. Can we think of another one? You know, what for instance, lung cancer. What's been associated with lung cancer?
Smoking.
Cigarette smoking. Yes.
In fact, we know that people that smoke cigarettes are 700 more times likely to develop lung cancer than the average individual.
Wow.
So smoking is a chemical that can actually trigger the growth of cancer. Mm-hmm. Right now, in our environment, it's estimated that there's up to 80,000 chemicals that are in cancer. Mm. Okay, and these you know, we call these 80,000 toxins out there, many of them cause cancer. Mm-hmm. Now, the ones we found out about so far, they're pretty well known, is smoking. Also, the polyurethanes that are inflame retardants, that can be a cancer stimulate. Another people don't equate this, but sun can be a toxin.
Or radiation.
Right. Sun or radiation, yes. If you get too much of it, that can cause cells to mutate, genetics to mutate, and cause turn on cells to make them divide erratically.
Mm-hmm.
A new one that's out there is talc powder that babies use. Talc powder,
really?
That's been associated. That's a chemical that can cause cancer.
Talc powder.
Wow. Right. It's been associated with ovarian cancer.
Wow.
A lot of people don't realize this, but alcohol increases the risk of cancer. Mm-hmm. That's a toxin that, you know, we especially see it in liver, esophageal cancer, that kind of thing. Hormone replacement therapy. You know, the estrogens that have been associated.
It's a growth hormone.
Yes, that's a hormone.
Right.
That's been associated with cancer. Tanning beds, again, with radiation. That's another thing that's been associated with cancer. And here are some new ones that people might not associate with cancer. Caffeine has been associated with the development of cancer.
Well, I'll be.
Okay.
Really?
Also, obesity. Okay. Now, if you look at the things that we know for sure that are causing cancer, if you look at them, first of all, none of them really were around at creation time.
That's
now,
true.
The sun was, but you know, but we didn't have sunburns and that kind of thing. But most of these are toxins that damage cells, get them to turn on these growths, and stimulate these cells to grow rapidly.
Stay just for a moment on this thing. Adam and Eve did not get sunburned, I guess because they had healthier skin?
Well, they might have had healthier skin, but you know what? If you don't stay out all day long.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get exposed.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if you, we've talked about this before, but you know, people that get sun damage, first of all, you know, it runs in families genetics, but usually are people that burn and they stay out long periods of time.
Yeah.
Throughout history, you didn't hear that much about skin cancer.
No.
It's only been in the last few years. So you have to wonder whether the sun's rays, there's things that are happening in the ozone layers or other layers
that might
let the sun become even more potent than it's ever been. And also now people are out laying out in the sun. They don't cover up. You know, they burn.
Putting bronzer on instead of, I mean, you can.
Yeah, I'll have to, whatever bronzer is, Charles, that's a younger
bronzer.
Thing. What is bronzer?
It makes you look tan.
It doesn't block.
Right, okay, so it's not a sunscreen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the point is when we talk about
Michael uses it all the time.
I do not.
But when you talk about the causes of cancer, well, these cells, something causes these cells to divide rapidly.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that's very interesting I found is that the rate of cancer rate has gone up every single year.
Yeah.
It's going up now. It's not going
Something's
down.
Something's going on.
Yes. Something is going on. And you have to relate it to this world and the toxins and the life. Now, we talked about caffeine. The other one I'm going to talk about is going to surprise a lot of people after we get off break.
All right. Well, we're going to find out what that is. This is a very interesting conversation going on here. What causes cancer? Some of the things you mentioned there, I did not know. That's amazing. And we're going to find out why and how when we get back. So stay right where you are.
Did you know that 70% of Americans are overweight and that being overweight causes many health-related problems, including sleep apnea, damage to the heart, high blood pressure, diabetes, joint pains, and the list seems to go on and on and on. There are many weight management programs out there. Many require fad diets and different types of diet pills. But we at HeartWise have developed a new program that we'd like you to think about. That's called Weight Management by the Book. And the book is the Bible. We use biblical technology, biblical techniques to help you lose and manage weight in a proven healthy manner. If you're interested in this program, go to our website, heartwiseministries.org, to learn more about this innovative program, Weight Management by the Book.
I'd like to take a moment to invite you to visit the HeartWise Ministries team on the internet. Stop by heartwiseministries.org and discover for yourself that optimum health is not the result of favorable genes or the right combination of pharmaceuticals. No, optimum health is the result of making the right choices each and every moment of each and every day. If you're like me, you're probably a little confused about what the media and marketing moguls are feeding us. There are a lot of potions, pills, and promises out there. Some work, some don't, and some are downright dangerous. Whom do you believe? Whom do you trust? Board-certified cardiologist Dr. James Markham, founder-director of HeartWise Ministries, says there is a source of information that can be trusted and followed. That's the Bible, God's owner's manual, as he calls it, for us all. The information you find on heartwiseministries.org is information backed by biblical truth. It can be trusted because God can be trusted. So stop by, won't you? That's heartwiseministries.org.
I'm Dr. James Markham, and I talk to patients every day who want to know the truth in healthcare. On our website, heartwiseministries.org, you can have your questions answered. You can read my blog where I talk about interesting and controversial subjects in medicine. You might choose to go to the radio or television sections and learn more about all sorts of health topics. Take the time and go to heartwiseministries.org.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. James Markham, and Michael Bell is sitting in to help us out. We're talking about cancer today. Cancer. Dr. Markham, this is a fearful disease.
Yeah.
And I guess we should take it seriously, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we should. And we were answering this question. We talked about what cancer was, mm-hmm. and it's cells dividing abnormally, whether it be in the different cell types. We talked about toxins and genetics being part of the cause, but one of the causes of cancer now that people aren't equating is the cause of obesity. Obesity has been linked to cancer. Mm-hmm. And the reason is the obesity or the fat cells have a chemistry all of their own that's abnormal. When the cell stores lots of fat, it becomes its own best friend.
And there's a name for that,
yeah,
right?
They call it the endocannabinoid system. And this system grows and it talks and it wants to make you hungry and it does things. It also works as an endocrine organ. The cells talk to each other. They also, you know, they work in the estrogen. You know, they work the estrogen pathways and they make higher levels. But anyway, they distort your fat, distorts your body chemistry through a host of probably unyet known mechanisms, and this increases the risk of cancer. Now, in thinking about cancer, you know, as we are today, cancer rates have gone up so much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's different people say, well, why is that? Well, someone says, we're living longer. You know, we're living longer. Well, that's why there's more cancer.
Yeah.
Well, we really aren't living that much longer. Other people say, well, we're diagnosing it now. You know, we're diagnosing prostate cancer. We're diagnosing breast cancer. We never picked up on it before. But I really think that a lot of it comes with these toxins that we're having. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you think of things that we're finding out, like obesity, you know, obesity increases the chance of breast cancer, colon cancer, esophageal cancer. And the mechanisms they think has to do with increased estrogen, increased insulin levels, triggering these probably genetic weaknesses in our genetics. Mm-hmm. Now, some people have you know, take all these toxins in and never get cancer.
Yeah.
So there must be some type of genetic thing, and also some type of stress. You have to assume that any type of stress on the system would raise your rates of cancer to some degree. So if you think about that, is, you know, we even see some medications that raise the chance of you having heart. Some treatments raise the chance of having a heart attack. So in the answer to that question, that's what cancer is, and the cause is still being elucidated. But it's a big problem, and people need to learn more.
Now, the next question here just rides right on this. This person asks, are screening tests useful for cancer, and what age should screening start? I mean, I've heard that kids can get cancer. I mean, that's a sad thing. Yeah.
And that is a great question, and it's very controversial. Okay, for instance, right now, cancers like thyroid cancer, we're not recommending that because there's so few. Screening is not good, and screening doesn't really change your treatment. But right now, the medical community is still, you know, the number one cause of cancer, in the number one cause of death is lung cancer.
Lung cancer.
Right now, they're not recommending a screening test for lung cancer. Okay, even though some of us that are high risk smokers, we are doing CAT scans. And part of the reason for lung cancer is that they're really not sure in lung cancer. There's no randomized trials to see that it's going to really help a person out. And yet last year, 157,000 people died of lung cancer, and another 200,000 plus were diagnosed. Now that brings us to the second most common cause of cancer, colon cancer or deaths. Colon cancer, 51,000 people died last year of colon cancer. 102,000 people were diagnosed with it. They're recommending, yes, that they should screen for that. Mm-hmm. And you usually screen at about age 50. Mm-hmm. Well, why is screening so effective? Because if you have an abnormal polyp or something, a precancerous lesion, it can be picked up and totally eliminated before it spreads and grows. Yeah. If you've had a family history of colon cancer, they recommend that you have it done 10 years before your family member discovered they had it. Mm-hmm. So if your dad had it age 45, they recommend you have your screening colonoscopy at age 35. So, you know, Charles, you're probably not quite 50, but if you're 50, you would probably benefit from having a screening colonoscopy.
Okay.
What are other things? The prostate. You know, we talk about PSA. The jury's out on that, and it's I would have to say it's maybe. And right now, there isn't quite enough evidence to determine whether the PSA results in more harm than good, because a lot of prostate cancer lies dormant and doesn't do much. It seems to be a slower mover in some people. And sometimes the treatment is more harmful than the treatment is more harmful than the disease itself. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue to talk about that. A melanoma, we've heard of that. That's a very deadly cancer of the skin that doesn't have. The screening for that is so easy. You know, that's just looking at your skin. So, you know, usually they recommend that, but there isn't really a lot of evidence to say that you should go to a dermatologist to do it. You know, but any suspicious lesion, you should look at it, because melanoma is a fast-moving, deadly cancer. What are the other types of cancer we've talked about? So the ones that we really recommend, breast cancer, we got to mention that. Breast cancer killed 40,000 women last year, and probably, you know, 10,000 men. Men do get breast cancer too. They're recommending right now that we have screening for that, and they recommend usually a mammogram every other year beginning at age 50. Now, if you start earlier, okay, sometimes you do that if you have a family history of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the women should do self-breast exams.
Yeah.
So screening tests are useful in mainly picking up cancer at a very early stage. If cancer has progressed, okay, of course, screening tests aren't as useful. Mm-hmm. And they're very age-specific, you know, because at certain ages in a life, that's when the chances of cancer go up dramatically.
Yeah.
For instance, fair-skinned people that burn a lot, and their skin. I would recommend they get screened for skin cancer at an early age. Mm-hmm. People with a family history of lung cancer, even though it's not recommended, they might or been around carcinogens a lot. They might benefit from having a CAT scan done at a younger age just to sort of screen for stuff.
Now, the screening for skin cancer, that's just a doctor looking at your skin.
Usually that is, but you right. can actually do that yourself and yeah. know if you have any suspicious lesion. So there's lots of ways to look at that.
Let me jump in here. Yeah. You say that somebody should get screened at an earlier age. What age do you actually mean by that?
Do you take your toddler in? Do you take your first grader in?
Colon cancer is 10 years before the heralded event, okay? Breast cancer, okay?
10 years before the heralded event.
Yeah, for instance, if your dad had found out that he had a colon cancer at age 35, you should get it at age 25.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Again, and now it goes to breast cancer. Now, if your mama had breast cancer, I would say, well, the recommendations, mm-hmm. I would recommend us to get it earlier than we've had it before.
Okay, all right.
But skin cancer, you know, that would be something I would look at all the time. But mm-hmm. I also put at risk. People that are at risk need to be more aggressive in screening. If you've had family history, if you work around a lot of carcinogens, if you're around smokers where you get secondhand smoke, if you're a fair-skinned person and burn your skin a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, later on, I think we're going to address some of the ways to prevent some of the cancers as well.
Yeah. Now, I'm a little confused on the lung cancer. Isn't lung cancer really a metastasized cancer from someplace else? It just traveled to the lungs?
Well, it can, but I'm talking about what we call primary lung cancer.
So the smoke going in there
right.
and actually
and causes the cancer to start there.
All right.
And we have cancers that we call primary and metastases.
Yes.
Remember, the cancer from ovarian cancer or lung cancer can start here and spread many places.
Right.
And you know, so where the primary tumor starts depends on the tissue type.
Yeah.
So lung cancer, you can have a cancer that starts in the colon and moves to the lung. You have lung that moves to the brain. So it's where it starts. And sometimes the cancer is all over, and we can't really tell where the cancer started.
So a non-smoker, it would be pretty hard to do a lung cancer test for a non-smoker because they're not introducing.
Right.
They
don't really recommend screening for them because the chance of them having cancer is so low that the radiation from either chest x-rays or CAT scans are probably more risky than the chance of them developing lung cancer if they're not high risk.
There's a question here. Yeah. Let's get this before the show ends here, Dr. Markham. What are the deadliest cancers? Which are the ones that should scare us the most?
Well, you know, that's an interesting term because some cancers move very quickly, mm-hmm. and some cancers kill you very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I'm happen to be looking at a book here and see the most deadly ones. And according to this, what I'm looking at, melanoma doesn't happen that often, mm-hmm. but it seems to be one of the most deadly cancers.
Wow.
We also hear very much about cancers of the pancreas. Pancreas is a very deadly cancer. Mm-hmm. Thyroid cancer can be a big problem if it's detected. So all of these cancers, you know, some are moving faster than others, but it's interesting in some people. The cancers move very, very quickly, and some people it moves more slowly. The same cancer
really?
Moves more slowly. And so there seems to be a lot of genetic and lifestyle variabilities on how fast the cancers progress. One interesting thing we've talked about, you know, organ system cancers, but there's other types of cancers. There's cancers of the lymph system called lymphoma.
Right.
There's cancers of the blood system called different leukemias and myelomas.
Yeah.
So these cells can divide almost anywhere.
Wow. We want to know immediately what we can do if we find a cancer or what we can do to keep from having these cancers. And that'll have to be our discussions in our next program because our time is up.
Yeah, we'll continue this.
We'll do that. So, listener, tune in next time to HeartWise, and we will continue this discussion to find out what we can do and how we can keep it from happening. Interesting and very important stuff. Thank you, Dr. Markham. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Michael Bell and Dr. James Markham. God bless. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.